Welcome to the official podcast of Apostolic Lighthouse. We'd like to thank you for listening today. We pray this message blesses you and encourages you to see that God is working in your life. Enjoy the message.
My title is The Offender, The Offended, and The Law Lover. The Offender, The Offended, and The Law Lover. That's a nice title. Amen. So generally speaking, there's three types of people in this world. And there's always exceptions, but, you know, just generally speaking, those that tend to offend others, those that tend to be easily offended, and those that, because they love the laws and commandments of God, they tend not to offend others and not to be easily offended themselves. Nobody's perfect. Things happen, but in generally speaking, amen. Three categories of people. So let's talk about the offender first. The offender is the person that offends people, right? They're the ones that cause the offenses. Now, Webster's Dictionary defines the word offend is to cause a person to feel hurt, angry, or upset by something said or done, to disrespect, insult, slight, or wound. But the Bible definition of offend is even much more worse than that. Because the Bible definition of offend is purposely causing someone to stumble, to fall, or to sin. And you would think that Webster's is bad enough, that definition, you know, hurting someone's feelings on purpose or disrespecting, insulting them, whatever. But you take it a step further, because biblically, when you read about offenses and those that offend, it's purposely causing someone to stumble, fall, or sin. Now, as followers of Jesus, he left us an example so that we can follow him, amen, and what he did for us. You know, he was ridiculed and he didn't ridicule back. He was reviled and he didn't revile back. In fact, the Bible said he was like a lamb silent before the shearers. You know, when a lamb goes in, a sheep goes in to get sheared, you know, usually it's not a very comfortable thing for the lamb because they're, you know, cutting off all that wool and whatever. And he was silent, you know. And so we have an example. Amen. And so many offenses came Jesus' way. And he showed us how to respond. Amen. Which many times is not responding. Now, Jesus gives a very strong warning to offenders. And Matthew 18:6 says, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Like, I don't want to be an offender now, you know, okay? I mean, I just read that. I don't want no big old heavy rock necklace and being thrown into the sea. That's no good. Amen. So obviously, an offender is not a good thing. We want to be a peacemaker. We want to be someone that, you know, helps people, not hurts them. Amen. Now, there's times where there's accidents, there's misunderstandings, but I'm talking about, you know, purposely doing these kind of things to slight people or whatever. Now, notice verse 7, "Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man or that person by whom the offense cometh." So in other words, Jesus said, hey, we live in this world and offenses, people, you know, offenses are going to come our way. And there's going to be offenders in our lives. And woe, he already said, it's better for that person, you know, to be thrown, you know, into the depths of the sea than to offend people. So he said, woe to that person whom the offense comes. So we as Christians, we as believers, we try to go above and beyond not to offend people. Acts 24:16, Apostle Paul said, "This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men." So that was his goal. He's just striving for that. Amen. Paul also told us in Romans 14:13, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Remember the Bible definition of offense: someone who causes someone to stumble, to fall, or to sin. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Therefore, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." 32, "Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God." And that's basically, when you say Jews, Greeks, and the church of God, that's everybody in the world. That in those three categories. The Greeks are like the Gentiles, non-Jewish people. The Jews are the Jewish people. And the church of God are the Christians. That covers pretty much everybody in the world. Give no offense. That's what we're striving for. Now let's talk about the offended. Now, Jesus said offenses are going to come. And, you know, he gives the warning to the offenders. But they're still going to come our way. So we have to make the choice, what am I going to do with that offense? When that offense is pointed my way, what am I going to do with that? How am I going to respond to that? Because it makes all the difference in the world. Because, see, offenses are part of life. None of us are immune from them. However, it's important that we do not allow ourselves to be easily offended. I know we're not perfect, and sometimes things get to us, you know, even the best of us. It doesn't matter, you know, things get to us. Proverbs 18:19, though, says, "A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city." So when somebody's offended, and what happens is when you're offended, it affects your mind. It affects your life. Because you're stuck on that thing, you know, and I'm hurt, I'm this, whatever. And it you know, puts the kind of the kibosh on your life, you know, while that offense is kind of brewing in your life. I like what this man said. He said, "Offense is an event. Offended is a choice." Think about that. Jesus said, offenses are going to come. It's an event. I'm not planning on it, but, you know, I get up tomorrow and something happens and here comes an offender. Here comes an offense. That's an event. Okay, it happened. But to be offended is a choice. Am I going to allow that to bother me and affect me? God's going to help us through that. So being offended puts you in a bad state of mind and heart. You know what that can lead to? Stumbling. And stumbling can lead to falling. And I'm talking spiritually speaking. Spiritually stumbling. Spiritually falling. Because when we're offended, we're not thinking clearly. We're not acting clearly. We're just focused on, I can't believe this person did this or said this, or da da da, whatever. And then, you know, man, I'm having a hard time praying because I'm just focused on what this person did. Or I'm gonna have a hard, you know, I come into church, but I'm just thinking about what that person did. You know, and so it's affecting my church, it's affecting my prayer. It's affecting my whatever. I got to not let this happen. I got to just get this. And, you know, if I do get offended, I got to get rid of it as soon as possible. Don't let it poison me. Don't let it bring me down. Don't allow yourself to be easily offended. Because as Christians, we got to try to have thick skin. Right? So we have to have a tender heart, but thick skin at the same time. I think we can do this both, don't you? I think we do both. Because, oh, if we have thick skin, then how's my heart going to be tender? No, you can do it. Just thick skin toward certain things, but a tender heart toward other things. You know, we can't wear our feelings on our sleeve, and we got to strive, as Jesus said, to turn the other cheek and try to just you know, move on. Let it be like duck, like water off a duck's back, right? It just kind of just goes, doesn't soak in, just runs right off. Now, during the earthly ministry of Jesus, there were a lot of people that were offended by the things which he said and did. Like, for instance, when after he had been on his earthly ministry for a while, he went back to his hometown of Nazareth, and he taught in the synagogue, and they didn't like what he said, and he preached, he did some things, they didn't like what he said. They go, wait a minute, this is, we grew up with him. This is Jesus. We knew him since a kid. You know, who does he's got this, you know, who does he think he is? Because they couldn't believe that, you know, when he finally basically said he was the Messiah, they took offense to that. You know, they were stumbling because of that, but in a bad way. They shouldn't have been. And after he said a few things, the Bible said in Matthew 13, verse 57, and they were offended by him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his household. And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. So here's what offense, you know, they were offended at him. And you know what that cost them? Some miracles. They deprived themselves of blessings and miracles because they allowed themselves to be offended, not in some offender. Jesus is not an offender, just in the Lord speaking the truth. And we really, as believers in God, we should never be offended in what Jesus says. You know, yeah, some things might go against the grain because maybe we're going against the Word of God, and rightly so. We should be convicted when we're doing the wrong thing and the Word of God calls us out. You know, that's good. That's healthy. If we don't feel bad or feel convicted, then that's a dangerous thing, because you don't want your conscience to be like an old piece of leather sitting out in the sun. Man, that thing's not feeling anything. It's just an old piece of leather. I can't have my heart hard as a rock, not feeling anything. Amen. And that's sad. He did not do many miracles. And you know what? And they needed as all those miracles like anyone else did. But because, we know him, and, you know, we don't believe that he's who he says he is, couldn't do many miracles. You mean God didn't have the power? He had the power, but faith unlocks the power. And when you don't have faith because you're offended, see, offense can short-circuit our faith. And then Jesus said some things to the Pharisees. You know, he didn't mince words. He said some things to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees, you know, took offense at what he said. And then later, his own disciples said this, Matthew 15, 12. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? And then Jesus said in verse 14, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. Spiritually speaking, he was saying these are blind leaders. They're offended because I'm telling them the truth, and they're still going with all this other stuff that's not of me. It's not of God. They're making up their own commandments and their traditions. They're equating their traditions with the Word of God, and that's not right. Matthew 11, 6, he said this, and this just says it all. Blessed is he, or blessed is a person, whosoever shall not be offended in me. In him, his word, whatever he says, whatever he does, I'm telling you, God's word, we need to love it. We need to trust in it. He's always right. He's always good. He's always out for our best interest. And so, you know, it doesn't matter what he says or does. The Bible is a blessing, and it's a guide, and it'll help us. It's trying to get us to heaven and help us to escape hell. That's what we got to hold on to, this word. Amen. So we should never allow ourselves to be offended by Jesus or his word. Now, Jesus told a parable of the sower and the seed and the four types of ground, right? He said a sower went out to sow, and this same sower had one type of seed, but he threw the same seed on four types of ground. And one ground was stony ground, And one ground was wayside ground. It was on the side of where it should have went. And one ground was ground that was thorns and full of weeds. And then one ground was good ground. And the same seed on all four grounds have had different results. Of course, it did the best on the good ground. And that's why we got to get our hearts right. If our hearts are changed and get right with God, and we have a tender heart, you know, because you can't grow things in Death Valley too good. Have you ever been to Death Valley? You can, you know, take your knuckle and knock on that dirt. It's all cracked up. It'll be as hard as this oak right here. And, you know, you put some water on that, it's not soaking through. You're not going to be able to put a seed in there. That's hard ground. But when you have a hard heart, seeds are bouncing off too. But you have a soft heart, you've turned over the soil of your heart, then that seed really does good in that kind of heart. So in Matthew 13:21, one of the types of ground was stony ground. And he said, when they threw it on stony ground, it grew up, and then because it didn't have any depth, because there wasn't, you know, stony ground, the seed didn't have anywhere to put the roots, because it had a bunch of rocks and all kinds of stuff, it withered away. And then when the disciples, you know, Jesus gave this parable to the masses, all the people, then the disciples, after everyone kind of went home, they called him over and said, can you explain this parable to us? We know the seed, the sower, and the ground, but what does that mean spiritually? And he said, the sower is, you know, someone, you know, that's preaching the word or giving the word, and the seed is the word of God, and the ground is the heart. And he said, when he got to the stony ground, he said, the stony ground is like a heart. And he said in Matthew 13:21, yet hath he no root in himself, but, you know, it dureth or endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. So this person, that he received the word, but because, and he grew a little bit there, he was excited at first, but when persecution or tribulation came as a result of what? The word, he was offended. So he was offended at the word of God. That person was offended at, you know, oh, you know, I got the word in my life. Then all of a sudden, you know, I thought when I'm serving God, start serving God, that I'm not going to have any more trouble in my life. No, whoever told you that? I mean, I never read that in the fine print, even in the big print, right? You know, he didn't say we're on a cruise ship. He said we're on a battleship, right? We're a good soldier, Jesus Christ. And so he just said, no, you're still going to go through things. But he goes, I'm going to be with you. He said, you're going to have someone in your corner now. He said, you can come to the throne and you can get grace, you get mercy. And, you know, God's going to help you through. Yeah, you're still going to have troubles in life, just like before you served me. But, you know, with me, you're going to get through those valleys and through those troubles better. Amen. Praise God. So this person maybe was thinking, well, I thought, you know, I got the word in my life now, and I got some tribulation. I got some persecution. You know, somebody, you know, made fun of me, or someone offended me, you know, or this, because I'm a Christian now or whatever. And I was offended, you know, and so he fell away because of that. So we don't want to be offended in him or his word. Peter mentioned it this way, 1 Peter 2:6. Therefore, it's also contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Now notice this. Therefore, to you who believe, he's precious. So we who believe, he's precious. We're not offended in, right? He's precious. But he said, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Listen to this. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. These people that were disobedient and didn't receive and didn't believe in him, they stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. So see, the word caused them to stumble because they were disobedient to it. And Jesus, instead of becoming precious like he is to us, he was a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. So Jesus would go and his earthly ministry, we read about it, he had these thousands of people he would talk to, or these groups of people, and in these crowds were Roman soldiers. In these crowds were Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, which were the Jewish leadership. In these crowds were poor people and just hungry people that just wanted to hear something that was real and feel something. And so all those people, they heard the same parables and the same teachings of Jesus, and they all went home. If some were blessed, some received, some were excited, some were offended and stumbled and this and that because they didn't receive it and accept what he said. Amen. So nothing in the Word of God should offend us as a believer or follower of Jesus. When we love his law, we will be much less likely. I'm not saying we're ever going to be offended proof, but it'll be much less likely we'll be to offend others or to be offended by others. So lastly, the third category, and this is what I'm encouraging all of us to be, the law lovers. Not the offenders, not the offended, law lovers. Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them, law lovers. Amen. Proverbs 12, 16, a fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. Because that's what an offender does. They insult you. But we don't need to be quick-tempered and blow off the handle. Amen. Explode over little things. Like that was the first question. No, a wise person, a law lover, is calm, tries to stay calm when insulted. Proverbs 19, 11, good sense and discretion make a man slow to anger, and it is his honor and glory to overlook a transgression or an offense without seeking revenge and harboring resentment. I like that one. We try to overlook transgression, not excuse, you know, we're not excusing things, but we're just like, as far as like, you're not going to try to ruin my day. I'm coming to church. I'm praying, you know, because, you know, the enemy will try to do something. What are the days that, you know, try to really get you going or whatever? Thursdays? Like Thursday afternoons or Sunday mornings before church? Oh, no, I can't go to church now, man. This happened. That happened. Or I can't go, you know, on Thursday, you know, something blew up, you know, and, man, I'm going to go to church and feel like a hypocrite because I just, you know, I just chewed somebody out or something or whatever. Well, I'm going to go to church and repent and ask God to forgive me, and I'm going to have good service. We can't let anything keep us out of service. You know, that's the enemy's goal, you know. Because as soon as he, you know, anybody sees, gets a foothold and say, oh, if I do this and keep my, they won't go to church or whatever, then yeah, that might just keep happening. Nothing, nobody's going to stop me. You do it all you want. I'm going to get a force field, you know. Like these, like some spaceships are supposed to have in some science fiction, these force field. So when they shoot the missiles, just bounces off on this invisible thing. My force field is the law of the Lord and the Spirit of God. Amen. Romans 12, 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men as much as possible. You know, we're not perfect, but as much as possible. Live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Praise God. So if someone offends you or whatever, just like, okay. You know, God's taking care of my business. You know, God's taking care of my business. You know, God's going to take care of you. You know, God's going to take care of you. You know, I know you're trying to get to me. You're trying to get under my skin. You're trying to, you know, mess around with my mind and whatever. I'm not going to let it happen. I want to live for God. I'm not going to let it, anything hold me back. Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. When I'm a law lover, really, we know that God is His Word and His Word is Him. So if we're a law lover, we're a God lover. And when we're a lover, our love covers offenses. Our love, just says, it covers that offense and doesn't let it get into my heart and mess me up. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love endures with patience. Love, it's not provoked nor overly sensitive and easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each one, hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, endures all things without weakening. You say, well, I've never quite heard it that way or read it that way. Well, just in case you were wondering, that passage is from the Amplified Version of the Bible. Because the Amplified Version, it amplifies and it, gives so much extra clarification. But I love that, it just, opens our understanding to it a little bit more. And then last scripture tonight before we open it up for any questions, 1 Peter 4:8, most important of all. Now, when the Bible says most important of all, we got to I'm going to lean forward. I'm going to open up my ear. I'm going to say, wait, most important of all, that must be, hey, listen, everybody. Continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Doesn't excuse. What it does, it covers, it helps us not be offended. Because remember, an offense biblically is someone causing me to stumble, fall, or sin. Love, I'm a law lover. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. I'm going to love the law, and I'm going to cover over those offenses before they even get to me. And I'm going to put the offenders in God's hands.
What an incredible message. Thank you again for joining us on the podcast, and may God bless you.